This program was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.
This one, Eve Gallagher, and welcome back to the final episode of Street Down Memory Lane, the series where we bring you on a walking tour of one of Ireland's oldest and most historical towns, stopping off to speak to some local characters and historians along the way, while also visiting some landmark buildings. The series so far has taken a look back at the Yall of yesterday and compared it to the Yall of today, documenting the changing face of the town from the 1950s onwards, as we heard how the retail and manufacturing side of the town has evolved. This episode, we complete our journey as we take the trip from Tallow Street out to Copper Alley and to the home of the Yall GA Club. As usual, we will take in some of the sights and sounds of the area along the way, and we hope to meet a few interesting characters who will have a story or two to share with us on our journey. Our first stop on this journey is the home of the Murphy family, which was a former shop on Tallow Street. And I'm now delighted to be joined by Patrick Murphy, but tisn't Patrick Murphy really.
No, I'm known as Pa Murphy.
Whose parents ran the shop here in the building where Patrick made his home. Patrick, tell me about the street that you grew up in.
I grew up on Tallow Street in the 50s. My parents had a grocery shop. Like many small shops, they gave credit. They were a great part of the community, gave a great service to the community, but then passage of time, that all changed with supermarkets and that evolved. I had great memories of growing up at home, and my mother ran the shop. My father worked in the factory, but it was known as Mary Murphy's shop. And it was a place where the people from the country used to come in. In them times, prior to lounge bars, the country people used to come in on Sunday night. They'd park their bicycles inside in their kitchen. They'd go down to the pictures, now called the movies, came up and they'd have the bottle of orange and they'd have a chat and they'd go home to country again.
But there was more to it than that in my memory now, because my father, Flo Leahy at the time, used to make his way up to Murphy's every Sunday night for the game of cards.
That's quite right. There was a 45 game every Sunday night, and you want to be a good player to be in there. They used to play on a Sunday night. It was a great place for cards, well known for cards.
Who were any of the characters apart from my father now? Who else played there?
Well, I knew your late father, Flo Leahy. There was Willie Keefe from De Valera Street, Jim Parker from Northman Street, Bill Tuig outside in Green Klein, and John Clark in later years across there on North Abbey Terrace. Their names that spring to mind at the moment.
Following on the card game now, because my father also went out on another night of the week, and he went across the road to Kennedy's Public Bar, and there was a card game there as well.
That probably happened. I remember that pub very well. Not only was it a pub, it was like they call today, they used to do groceries as well. It was an off-license, and most of groceries, and they used to be playing rings there as well, and it was a great public house.
But I have a feeling that the same people on the Sunday night played there on another night of the week as
I
well.
I have no doubt it
I'd
was.
Say they were kind of, it was hard enough to play there because they were very exact in their playing, I'd say.
Absolutely, and you wouldn't be allowed in. You wouldn't be allowed into the game unless you knew your stuff. They were great men to hold games. You could have six people, two pairs, three pairs, and they could hold the game for a good while.
That was over in Kennedy's now, and 'twas John Kennedy was there long ago. He had a son that took it over then.
That's right, his name was the late Cal Kennedy.
What was your mother's name, may I ask?
Mary.
She must have been a very patient woman to be putting up with all the comings and goings, morning, noon and night in that house.
Absolutely, she was. Great business there. That was the time in Ireland, all over Ireland, where there was no lounge bars, not much drinking, but people came to the pictures on a Sunday night, had the bicycles in the kitchen, they go to the pictures, they come back and have their biscuits and their orange and what have you, mm-hmm. and go home. And there was a social aspect too. There were a bit of courting going on and meeting people. But the room after shop, then the cars were being played. There was a yard alongside us, which is our yard now, but at the time it was a huge, big long yard up to the graveyard. And my parents, a lot of us used to have pigs there. Now, in them times, people in the town, a couple of houses would have pigs, and they had bought them as bonds, they fattened them up and they sold them on. And then we used to go around to all the houses locally and collect the waste, as in the food, and we'd feed the pigs. And the gardeners then in the area would come and collect
the droppings from the manure.
That's right. It was a little kind of industry. Couldn't have it now, but that's the way it was.
Finally, amongst your own family, you had a great character, the late Dennis. God be good to him.
Dr. Den. He was a funny man. Actually, last Sunday was his 16th anniversary of his death. He was my eldest brother. He was a great support. He was a great man to help you out. But he was a great man for the people. And I didn't realise when he died that the amount of people he helped. He just was a good man.
Beside me here, just joined by Lee Cody. And Lee lives in the same house that she grew up in and has been there 64 years. That's here in Fitzgerald Terrace. Your father, he was in the army. Your mother, from my memory, going back now to the time we did the 1916 production. I remember you talking about your dad and your mum.
Yeah.
So just very briefly, just tell us about it.
Well, my dad came from Villestown. He joined the IRA in the West Waterford Brigade. He was captured and he spent 6 months in Spike Island. And during the summer, I actually brought his autograph book to go into the museum in Spike Island. When he was released, you could either go the civilian way or join the army.
Yeah.
And he joined the army in 1922, spent 25 years in the army. Stationed here in Yall, that's how he met Mam. He was stationed here in Yall and they met at a dance. And my Mam was in the Cumdaman.
They got married, and when did they move into Fitzgerald Terrace?
They lived in De Valera Street, where all the girls were born.
Very good.
And Terry. And then they moved down to Tallow Street, those small houses. They moved there.
Between Sweetnam's and Patrick Murphy's.
Yeah, Hannah Bullen lived next door.
Right.
And I was there until I was seven. I'm talking about 1954. Door to us at that time was Arthur and Mrs. Haynes.
Arthur Haynes, I remember. And Anne Haynes, Anne. Subsequently.
Now, Anne wasn't there at the beginning. She was in England for years. She was a nun. And next door to that were the Hayeses, Davy and Maisie.
The terrace is actually split in two almost.
Yeah.
We go across the divide, kind of, then, and there are four more houses there.
Yeah, Mrs. O'Leary lived there then with her three sons.
Right.
They all died very young, actually.
Did they?
They did.
I remember one of John O'Leary going to school.
Yeah, they all died before her.
Tell me, traffic and people going by or anything like that, compared to then and now?
Absolutely nothing. And my longest memory is of New Year's Eve, the pipe band would come down to the end of Carkill. They would go around the town first, but then they'd come back and they had a dance at the end of Carkill. And we lived so near. If it was raining, we could stand in the doorway and watch. It's long gone now.
Is it?
Yeah. It's a shame.
It is a shame.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Was you went down the slab bank too long
ago? Down the slab bank. We didn't. Well, when we lived in Tallow Street, it was quite easy. When we went down to Kendi's.
All right.
And out, and you were in the slab there and then. At the side of our house was, it's still called the Cellars. You could go down there, you could go into Marsfield.
Right.
And which is where Dennis Broderick has his place now.
Right, okay.
And you were out over the wall and you were in the slab. My abiding memory is when Mammy saw the bats, she nearly had a fit.
Right.
She couldn't believe, no way were we going into that.
I suppose, like we all grew up, you see, in town with outside toilets and without any modern conveniences of any sort. So it took a bit of getting used to
it. Indeed, we weren't in that bed, I'd say, for months. She was still, and eventually when we did, it was the water would be up to her ankle. Was terrified we'd drown inside in the bed.
All right.
And the running water, like, we didn't have that. The actual pump for the whole of Tallow Street was outside where I live now.
Did you say you didn't have any running water in the house?
In the old house.
In the old house.
We'd have to go up twice a day with the bucket to fill the water, morning and evening. It was kind of a job for the older ones. They go in the morning with my mum and they go at night time with my dad.
I'm flabbergasted because when I was growing up, we had running water all right.
Yeah.
We had an outside toilet, of course, and all that.
You can just imagine when we went over to Sterling Terrace and she turned on the tap and water came out.
I can
in the house was a treat.
It's there you find it, I know sure enough, when fortune has come.
Well, Buachasla Dia, what a morning we have here. And it's so gorgeous as we're walking out towards the Copperelli GA field, but passing Gallagher's Terrace now and Dan O'Sullivan, who lived here many moons ago. The row of houses here now that are known as Gallagher's Terrace.
Yes.
And was it always Gallagher's Terrace?
As far as I know, and I think it was the first terrace built in York.
So you knew all the neighbours, obviously, because there was, an open door policy in those days. Not too many doors were locked or anything, I'd say.
No, because we didn't have keys to it, lock them anyhow.
And how many of you were there now, may I ask?
Well, I have two brothers and one sister.
Going back the days, and still the days, the O'Sullivans would be linked with the game of hurling. But I'd say the original O'Sullivan was a Kerry man.
Well, my grandfather was Daniel O'Sullivan.
Right.
Came from Killarney. My grandmother, her people, I think, came from Waterford, but I think she was a Cork woman.
And your father was known as Mowler.
Yes.
And I think he was a very good footballer.
Oh, he was. He played junior football for Cork. Now, at that time, it was a big honour because, I mean, you had to be good to come from Yall to get on the Cork team.
Coming next door then, beyond Bolands, who was there in your time?
It was Willie Cannon.
There was also, if memory serves me right, a connection with Fermoy.
I'll tell you now, yeah. He was the man, I'd say, he walked the circumference of the world. He was a cattle driver. And back at that time, too, it was going to the fairs. People would go and they'd hire a guy.
So in other words, the farmer or the man who purchased the cattle would employ somebody to walk the cattle from the fair.
He was a fair man for bringing cattle home. Any place around here within this, I suppose, within 30 miles.
But I suppose they headed off early in the morning, did they?
Oh, they would, sure. I mean, when the fair would be in Yall down in the fair field, you wanted to be up, I'd say, at 3 o'clock in the morning. You'd start and you'd hear cows all over the place.
When you moved to Dominic Collins' place, were the fairs gone at that stage?
I'd say that we moved in 67. They were on this last legs.
Then, just as we're here now and we're looking over, don't the houses look particularly well now? In the 40s.
Oh, yeah.
Honest to God. And it looks as if there's great pride in the house as well, because the people are keeping them excellently.
Oh, they are, yeah. I mean, you can look all over the town, I mean, compared to what it was.
Wander slowly back down to where you're from now, John. And you've been in the same house for the last 51 years, I'm told.
52 years.
52. Yeah. Here in Dr. Kennedy Place.
Yes.
Tallaght Street, I suppose, that area there, it used to be on the outskirts of the town at the time.
Yes, we considered ourselves nearly out at the tail end of the town until all the buildings started, and now we have two or three big supermarkets out beyond us and a lot of building out further out towards Mill Road and Quarry Road and all that area, Green Klein. So we are really, you could say, nearly in the middle of town now.
Dr. Kennedy Place, when was it built, can you tell me?
1967. It was built by Massey Buttermer, famous Dr. Kennedy in Yall, so it was decided to name it after him. I wouldn't remember him well, but
I can still see him now in my mind's eye. How many houses are there, John?
There are 10 houses. There are 4 two-story family houses and 6 small one-room houses, normally kept for one or two people at max, older generation. We were the outsiders. We moved up from South Main Street. All the others, there were old houses out on the main road, and they were all becoming unlivable, if that's the word I should use, and they were all moved back into those houses.
But there was a row of houses that was, I suppose, right out
on the roadway
prior to that. Yeah. Can you remember some of the people who lived in those?
You had Johnny Welsh.
Tell me about Johnny Welsh now, because that's a man, I suppose,
was
character,
a bit,
if
he
you
was
right,
a great
like.
Character. He used to always be in concerts and doing juggling and all that kind of thing. He was a great character. I couldn't say exactly what his employment was.
Tell us about his mode of transport.
He had this famous bike with a, I know what you call it,
he had a big box up in front
of it. In front of it, that's just it, yeah. And he used to be doing like all kinds of tricks. He was a lovely man. What I can remember really well, and I know it's further down Tallaght Street, Minnie and Mike Laurie, they had a great pub business there, fabulous entertainment. Pat myself were regulars there every weekend, and they had fabulous music Saturday and Sunday, and it was a place to go.
On top of that, of course, they used to have set dancing competitions.
Funny side of that was, Minnie used to always have the floor polished to the last.
Right.
And one type of dancing you can't do on the polished floor is set dancing, because you'd get killed. And any time we had competitions there, I'd say to Minnie, just the floor is too slippery. I get a lecture, and I'd offered to go and wait it and dry it out a bit like that, and she'd eventually come back, and no way the mop wouldn't be handed over, she'd do it herself. But we'd always have a bit of hassle for us, but Minnie was outstanding, and we used to run nights there to raise funds. We'd visit Cushown and the hospitals and all, and Minnie would always give us the hall free of charge. It was a great spot that time at our end of the town.
Of course, your shop divides, I suppose, Tallow Street, the end of it, and it marks the beginning of O'Reilly Terrace. Tell me, why is it called O'Reilly Terrace?
There was an ambush in the War of Independence or the Civil War, I'm not sure which, but there was four people from the town killed in the ambush. There was Quain, Fitzgerald, Aher and O'Reilly. Anyone from y'all will recognise those names because they're on terraces in the town. O'Reilly Terrace is here beside me in what used to be the circus field. My father now would have told me about this, that when he was growing up, when the circus came to town, they pulled in here to the where O'Reilly Terrace is now, and that's where the circus was. O'Reilly, his father was a caretaker of the cemetery.
Right.
And they lived in the lodge, and Liam O'Reilly, I think, was the man's name.
This is just up there now?
Just from, here.
Just inside the gate.
Just inside the gate of right. North Abbey. It was out of there that O'Reilly man came, that the terrace there is called after.
No, Liam, just up as far as the gates, and yeah. We look into the gates. And
You're now in Old Chapel Lane, and not an awful lot of people know that the lane into North Abbey is actually officially Old Chapel Lane.
Well, and small, but just up to the gates.
At
and
the
now.
Gate, then the lodge is on the left-hand side, and over on the right-hand side of the gate, that small little piece that's marked off kind of on its own. My own mother is buried there. That little piece there, that was known as the garden. Because it was the caretaker's garden.
So it spread across from the lodge, and that was part of
the piece on the left hand side of the gate was the garden.
All right, John.
Yeah, and the house was on the right hand side of the gate. Twice ever that normally funerals travelled up Old Chapel Lane, but there were twice ever that
into the graveyard.
Into the graveyard. Yeah. Twice ever there was funerals left the graveyard. The O'Reilly man.
Hold on a second. Oh. They were exhumed and put somewhere else.
No. Unfortunately, there was a neighbour of ours out here, Aidan O'Connor. He passed away. He was digging a grave for another neighbour of ours, Jim Kiley from Paradise Alley,
right.
Across the road.
Yes.
He died above in the cemetery, and he.
You mean to say while he was digging the grave,
he took ill and died, and his coffin left North Abbey to be waked and
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
The other man whose funeral left North Abbey, a father of the man that was shot in the ambush, he was caretaker here, and when he died, he was waked in the cottage just inside the gate, and his funeral left here and went up to St. Mary's only to be brought back to be buried here again.
So we're here, so in the graveyard. Have you any other comments about the graveyard apart from the reluctance to come in here?
Well, I would have spent a lot of time here because there was a couple lived here in my younger days, John and Han O'Callaghan. John came from Dunamore, and Han Callaghan came from Garryvaugh. They lived here, and I spent a lot of time up here.
I remember John O'Callaghan attending funerals here with the holy water.
Yes, indeed. Yes. Happy memories here.
Yeah. And was he the last caretaker who lived in the cottage?
He was the last caretaker to live here in the cottage.
Do we have a caretaker now?
Yes, we do. Per McCarthy now is the current caretaker.
Okay. But he doesn't have to live on site.
No, he doesn't live on site, no.
We'll wander back out towards your shop again. I'm told it's a very lucky shop.
Yes, we've had the lotto really since it started. And we've had 5 jackpot winners. And we've had 7 on winning streak.
Now, when you say you've had 5 jackpot, how much did they win, or do you know?
There was 2.5 million, $250,000. 2 of them, then they were in a shared jackpot.
Right.
So they would, I think one of them got $500,000 and another got, I think, around 300,000.
You haven't any spare tickets on you?
No, I haven't, unfortunately.
There's nearly time to purchase one, no, I can tell you. How long are the McCarthy family in that house there, your shop?
My mother and father bought the house here in 1950. And they moved in 1960 and opened in April 1960.
And what was there before them?
It was closed for 4 years before that. Bob Cronin was there, very famous man, I believe, in the town, was part of the Brass and Reed Band. He had a shop and he had a shoemaking business there back in the 1950s. He died actually in the house. His niece was living with him, Rosalind Cronin, very famous person again around the town. Lots of funny stories about Rosalind.
No, didn't know the connection now and didn't know where. I used to call her Rosaline.
Rosaline,
But you're saying it is Rosalind.
Rosaline Cronin.
No, because there are two. There could be two different spellings for it. She was a character.
Yeah, but... She went off to Cork one morning and the neighbours noticed that the shop wasn't opened and that. And John O'Hare, he told me that they decided to break in and they found Bob had passed away during the night. And Rosalind had gotten up in the morning, made him a cup of tea and had gone off to Cork. Didn't notice that there was anything untoward. And she went away to Cork and anyway, the neighbours found... Bob had passed away. That was in 1954, I think.
I suppose Rosaline became famous in 1957 when Moby Dick came
to
town.
She did indeed.
But I suppose that's for another day, maybe.
That's another story. My mum passed on in 2012.
And so your dad is...
My dad is still living here, thankfully.
We're here in North Abbey Terrace. I suppose tis... Knowing people from Youghal, it's kind of not a great name for a terrace, because when you have an address as North Abbey, it's not the greatest place to be, I suppose.
You haven't far to go any over the road.
No, you haven't. By way of explanation to anybody not from Youghal, North Abbey is the cemetery here in Youghal, out across the way from North Abbey Terrace. Tina Clarkin has lived here all your life, I'd say to you.
Yeah.
And you've seen many changes. There were great childhood memories. You can see that the slab is down behind you.
That's right.
I suppose 'twas many's the day you spent down there.
Oh, listen, many the day we were reared on the slab, really. You know, we enjoyed it down there. We used to go to the swimming pool, out to the pool.
Right.
That was way out, but a lot of people used to swim in the sluice, at the back of the sluice, because, well, we used to call them the strong swimmers.
Right.
And my brother, John, used to swim there, Jimmy. And actually, Jimmy told me a story that when they'd go out swimming when they were young, they'd be waiting for the water to come in. They'd get sunburned. There was no sunscreen then, but he said they'd be waiting, sitting in the bank, waiting for the water to come in, and they'd get sunburned.
Did you swim out there?
Swim behind the sluice, but we went out to the pool, which was farther out.
Right.
We used to swim in the pool, and the water used to be as clear as anything. Yeah. But, I mean, there was cows everywhere, like all over the fields and everything, but there was a lot of people went out there.
Is that happening today?
No, that's all gone.
Why?
I don't know, I suppose, with the development and everything, but I went out there for a walk there a few months ago. The water is even green out there now. The front of the sluice, you could look down before and the water was crystal clear.
Right.
And out by the pool was the same. You could actually see the crabs. You go and swimming, you'd actually be ducking the crabs.
Yeah.
But you could see it all the way in, but not anymore. Well, I suppose times change, you know.
Yeah, but it's a shame that
it is a shame.
It was a natural swimming pool.
It was. And it was small and it wasn't deep. In the pool outside, you'd only go up to your chest.
Between Greens Quay or Dunn's Park and the slab bank in those days, you had everything. It was, I suppose, they call them resorts nowadays, but that was our resort because you could play your games.
Oh, you could, yeah.
Down there and
you
go
could.
For a swim then outside
you
and
could.
Go fishing for crabs and
heaven. We'd go swimming in the afternoon and come home, have a tea, and then you go back out, be playing, and you'd be ducking in case your mother and father be calling you to come in. You'd be running and hiding.
Your father was Jim Clarkin.
He was.
How did he come to town?
He actually came during the Second World War, or the emergency, as it was called. He came into town then. That's how my mother met him.
He came down here in the army?
Yeah, he was in the army. My mother was Hannah McGrath.
Aye.
You know, she was Hannah McGrath.
Have you any idea when the houses were built?
I think it's between 1920 and 22, I think, they were built.
Aye.
They're all red brick from the red brick yard out. You remember the red brick yard out by the...
I do.
By the bypass now, they're all red brick, those houses, and they were built for ex-servicemen.
I love Jennifer Echo.
I'm just crossing now the divide, Old Chapel Lane, I think Liam called it. So moving from McCarthy's corner over across Old Chapel Lane, the entrance to North Abbey Cemetery, and arriving here at O'Reilly Terrace.
Right.
So I have here Margaret Moore. Hello, Margaret.
Hello, Liam.
And another Margaret, Margaret Carey.
Hi, Liam.
Who were your neighbours then long ago?
Kevin Carey was at one side, and Patsy Ryan.
Oh, right.
And the wife at the other side.
Patsy was a musician.
He was.
He
fiddle.
Fiddle, yeah.
Yeah, he was. Mm-hmm.
Next door then.
It was Mary Feeney, Lord of Mercy and Mary.
Yes, Lord of Mercy and Mary Feeney would have been there from day one.
I remember Mary's
grandmother was she smoked a pipe.
Right.
She was there as well, yeah.
Yeah. I remember going down to the house and she'd be sitting in the corner and she'd be smoking her pipe.
What year are we talking about now?
I went down to collect my gear for strewing because Mary had all the gear at that time. If you were strewing in the Corpus Christi procession, you had to have a sash and you had to have gloves with no fingers, and Mary had all them, and I remember going down to the house to collect them from Mary, and Mary's grandmother was sitting in the corner.
What year will
get your communion, you'd be, it'll be, it'll be 60, early 60s, yeah.
Mary Feeney would have been involved in supporting the church at that time.
Well, she just happened to have these. Mary was a nurse at one stage, and I think in England, she came back kind of a forelady down in Old Carpets. Mrs. Bullman, all the Bullmans were reared out there. Well, they were reared originally in Tallow Street. And when O'Reilly's Terrace came, Mrs. Bullman, Hannah Bullman, went in.
She was a family there.
In there, yeah.
And I do remember Eddie being there, and his sister.
Kathleen was a nurse for the whole of the terrace. Anyone fell,
you
run down to Kathleen.
She was great, in fairness.
Dennis and Phil Desmond. She was a brilliant dressmaker. Wedding dresses for everyone in the town, I'd say.
She conducted dressmaking outside at home.
In the house,
Had you much of a choice? Well, you were young Collini then, but did you have much choice around the town, or did you always go to Mrs. Desmond now?
We went to her.
You'd go to around the town as well, but my dad worked in Blackwater Cottons, and you'd be able to buy the material out there, and she'd run a dress up then for me for Red Bairn.
Just behind Gallagher's Terrace, we have a new estate, and of course, anything built since 1900 we regard as new. We have the new bridge out along over Blackwater, and we still call it the new, even though it's there since the 60s. But so this is a particularly new estate now, and it's known as Gallagher's Mews. And with me to discuss all out the Mill Road are Frank Keane and Pat Daly. You're very welcome, lads.
Thank you very much, Liam.
Good afternoon, Liam and yourself.
We were trying to figure out when it was built. I remember when we were going to school and there was no house there. I reckon till back around 1990, I think they were rested there, you know. It's a beautiful estate, Liam.
There is progress being made on the housing front.
Oh, definitely. It may be slow, there is movement.
And across the road then, as we come out from the estate and we look across, there are a couple of houses in there. I think there are probably five private dwellings, for want of a better word. Frank, they went up not overnight, but over the past number of years there.
Well, originally, Liam, that was Jack Daly's field. Mangels and turnips in that particular field make a show bob for the cinema long ago. First and foremost, I suppose, we must mention the old Murray Kitchens. That was a massive factory. Gave great employment, like all the other factories in Yall did. That closed down Murray Kitchens. It was taken over by Coriston Carpets, or Indian Point, which was known at that time, Pat, wasn't
That's it? That's right, Indian Point.
Where we are standing now, Liam, the water used to come up here. And across the road from this particular place we are standing now, there were the quays originally. And over there were the fishermen's cottages.
Where the swains are now.
Where the swains are now. There were all the fishermen's cottages around there. And if you look at the walls and the steps, etc., you can imagine like the water up against the wall there. So but this is all reclaimed ground.
There was no Mill Road in those days?
No,
there was no Brehon Road or anything?
No. But Mill Road at that time, they did say that there was a mill in operation around this particular area. When I dig my ground there now, I unearthed all shell. All this area, this land around here was all reclaimed. And this all came like from the quarry above. All the stone from the quarry build the slab bank. That was in 1846-47, and it was a famine relief scheme because, as you know, there was no employment. It would be something like a FAS scheme now.
It has only been reclaimed since that time?
That's all.
God, that's not going back
too
far.
The boreen above where Mrs. Keane is, back at Mrs. Keane's.
Yep. Frank has now taken us, in our mind's eye, up the quarry road, past Pat Barry on the right hand side, up to where Pat Barry's old house was.
And back of that, there's a boreen down.
Yeah.
And that originally was the road coming in from Inch, turn to the left, and you go down and you come out by your place.
That's
below
right,
Pat.
Down the back wall place.
So that was a boreen from Pat Barry's old house, all the way down through the land and coming out below, which would be actually parallel now to the way we go from Copper Alley down to the main road again.
What I was taught going to school, but my parents used to tell me that apparently that the old road, the road that we're talking about there now, used to go down there at the back of the Keane's Garden Centre.
That's correct, that's the way the boreen
That's Pat Barry's old house now,
down through Muckridge.
Right.
Yeah.
across down at the back of me Hall O'Neill's, which is all around the Green Cline area.
Yeah.
And the road just come out near the Stone Bridge. That was the old road. And in actual fact, the archways of the old bridges that are they're still there. And even at the back of my house at Green Cline, the archway is still there hundreds and hundreds of years, and twas no maintenance done it, and it's just the same as it was put up today.
We're only learning, Liam, because the Stone Bridge, it was built in 1819. I think to myself that there was a timber bridge. Now, there was a timber bridge originally, like where the metal, before the metal bridge.
Right.
But I would think myself, coming down the Tallow Road, Pat, from where you were born, there was some kind of a bridge going across the Tourig.
Yes.
Would be close now to the where the brickyard is, something like
that's
that,
right,
you know.
Yep.
And there was an interconnection there between what we're talking about now, Pat Barry's, back of Pat Barry's house,
right,
and
okay.
that, you know. Now, there were only all dirt tracks at the time,
that's
like, and that, you know, because
there weren't roads.
Only horses and donkeys and carts and things.
Where does the mill road stop and start?
The entrance to the mill road is from Finbar Russell's to Mary Nevin's.
Right, okay.
That's the postal address.
And are you telling me that the road, and there is a road there, veering left to go up towards the quarry?
That's right.
And it stopped now because we have a new road. Or was that the old road?
That was the old road.
So when you and I were going to Caporelli in the 60s and 70s, we went up that way.
Up that way, that's correct.
So saying Slán there to Pat and Frank, and I have here beside me now, I have Fintan Crowley, and Fintan has the garage outside. Just to ask Fintan about the area that you live in. You grew up there.
Grew up around here about 50 years ago now. There's been a pile of changes.
Right.
I suppose one thing that you'd have to mention out here is how clean and well kept the area is and always has been. That's due no short works to Frankie Keane and his wife. They do a pile of work, and I think the area benefits from it. I think the area looked absolutely fantastic.
Not forgetting that there's a lovely park up there as well.
What was up there was the old quarry, where they take stone from the quarry down to build the slab bank.
Oh, yes.
And for ages there, it was just an eyesore. In fairness to Frank Keane again, Frank took it upon himself, pulled the socks up around it. It's fitting tribute, and they named it after him. A fantastic amenity,
yes.
And there's parking, there's a whole lot there, and there's lovely walk inside there.
Your father established the garage outside. What year was it?
When he left school, and I'm not sure what year he left school, but he only went as far as his intercert. He went in working for Ernie Farrell's father inside Neol. Grandfather used to work there as well.
Then he took a notion
to go out on his own.
Right.
And he took that notion back in 1964.
And was there a site already made, or did he have to develop the site?
No, it was a green site. There was no planning back then. Build away, knock the wall, knock the ditch, and he started back in 1964.
Who was your mam?
My mam then was Teresa Magner. Two brothers and a sister. Her sister was Jenny Magner, who was Jenny O'Neill, the O'Neill's chemist. And her two brothers, then both of them were priests. Father Pat Magner and Father Robert Magner.
Ye developed the garage, and when did you start working there?
1981.
What are the major changes that you've seen in your time now since 1981, which is roughly 40 years ago?
What changed there, I suppose, really is the people that are in it, and that we've been very lucky. We had a Cushion sit up beside us, and the characters coming out of there have been absolutely fantastic.
And what services do ye now provide that ye didn't do 40 years ago?
Biggest additioning was that we opened the deli in the shop in the past, 10, 15 years.
And of course, I suppose there was a bigger boom there a couple of years back when everybody was building, and Pat Short comes to mind with the big breakfast roll.
Yeah. 2 eggs, 2 sausages, 2 rashers, 2 bacon, 2 puttin' on deck on white. Oh, stack like a tower on top of each other in round of good and tight.
Well, we've reached the end of our journey. I think it's time to stop and reflect on our journey with some of our contributors.
Over in Paradise Alley as well.
Yeah.
Whistler Keneally and the wife
lived
in the first
house.
The plants lived over there.
Yeah,
that's
right. The plants were in the back.
The very last house.
And the
Kiley's
lived in there.
Yeah.
Frankie Kiley was right outside.
There was O'Brien's lived in there.
When you mention Frankie Kiley there now, are you talking about Frank that had the Devonshire Arms there?
Yes,
for a while?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And Jim.
And
Jim
Kiley in
there.
Jim lived across the road from me for a while, above in De Valera Street.
Yeah.
Actually, he was living there when he was killed.
Yeah.
And remember I was telling you a while ago about the Aidan O'Connor?
Yes.
It was his grave he was digging.
Jim Kiley's.
Jim Kiley's.
Right.
Johnny Welsh, yeah. That's right. And the Bill Carr and...
Sorry, we were trying to explain it. We couldn't put a name on it.
So the motorbike was a ninja box in front of it.
That's right.
I saw it on television in an old programme recently, one of the old films, and he used to... obviously, his artist said he was the poster for Red Baron.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, piano. Advertising.
Yeah,
that's
right. He's teach myself and Creevy the piano.
Yeah. That's right.
And he used to be juggling and all that's that kind right, of thing. Yeah. Around, so.
Swallowing flame and...
That's right. That, yeah. And here's something else to tell you. Just all coming back to me now. Hannon's, he spoke this morning about Liam. Hannon's had no clothesline because there's no back. So all their clothes and everything they washed was put out in our line. We know hot water. We did plenty of hot water with the ovens, so we'd hot water. That's the way it was in the 50s and 60s. That's the way it was.
Everybody helped each other, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And at the back of Hennon's, when you came out then, there was Johnny Cartry's forge.
That's right.
Was at the back of that.
That's right, the blacksmith.
The cellars. It's still the cellars. Where you go and play, down the cellars,
that's right. The grain store over there, where Fitzgerald's Terrace is now. And there was, a pottery in there as well.
Yeah, we got loads when we dug up the garden. Loads and loads of pottery.
You mentioned there about Gallagher, Diarmuid Gallagher. And so he was executed because of his participation in 1790.
Yeah.
And that's why
Gallagher's Terrace.
So we're very patriotic in town, aren't we, with all
the names? That's right. Small story. Yeah. When I got my first communion, at that time you got it at 8 o'clock in the morning, and there was no such thing as going to hotels for the meal or anything. But my mother had the table set up for the night before because the aunts and all. And 'twas that Mrs. Kennan from Gallagher's Terrace, while we were at mass, came over and cooked the breakfast.
People having different, being known by names other than their right name. When Mam and Dad opened the shop here first, Dr. Fye came up one day and he was looking for John Ahern, North Abbey Terrace, and he couldn't figure out who this John Ahern was, because she knew that Johnny the Walker, who was known as Johnny Condon, lived over in
number two.
Johnny Condon's actual name was John Ahern. But he was known as Johnny Walker and he was known as Johnny Condon. You know, they were the good old days, I suppose, really.
Like Michael Hackett, he's there for all the videos and phones now. He had a kind of a slide. So we'd all go into the shed at the back of his house, and it'd be 5 or 6 of us locally, and we'd have biscuits and orange, and he'd be shown the slides, and he'd have all the noises of the horses and the movement. Sure, it was a great day for us, right?
I mean, I've worked here, so I'm going to meet him.
Thank you,
Liam.
Like snowy mountains in the sky, Mauve winning born, alling, like born.
The Street Down Memory Lane was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with a television licence fee. Presented by Liam O'Leka. Sound engineer, Paul Daly. Sound engineering and editing, Thomas O'Keefe. Produced by Thomas O'Keefe. Series producer, Angela Kearns. Researcher, Angela Kearns. We would like to sincerely thank all those who took part in this program for their time, and most of all, for the memories. A Community Radio Y'all production. Barefoot in the glistening sand.